Hello, this is John Wayne. Two of my co-stars in Rio Bravo, Dean Martin and Ricky Nelson, sing a mighty pretty tune. Thought you'd like to hear them.
Purple eyes in the canyon, that's where I long to be with my three good companions. Just my rifle, pony, and me gonna hang my sombrero on the limb of a tree, coming home, sweetheart darling. Just my rifle, pony, and me.
Whippoorwill in the willow sings a sweet melody,
riding to Amarillo,
Amarillo.
Just my rifle, pony, and me.
No more cow to be roping,
to be roping.
No more stray. Will I see
Round the bend.
She'll be waiting
for my rifle, pony, and me. Oh, my rifle, my pony, and me.
And good evening, everyone. It's January 29th, 2006. You're listening to C-Band Talk. We're located on C-band satellite at AMC3, transponder 5, 6.8 narrowband audio, W3956 and a 4D TV receiver. On the internet by going to my webpage at www.cbandtalk.com, www.cbandtalk.com. Click on any of the listen links on the front page or click on how to listen to find out more. At the top of the hour, Sunday Night Satellite tonight, we've got a busy night ahead of us. We have three guests planned. Lee Richardson from MechTech right at the start of the show. I want to get an update on the Natalie Holloway search, so I've got Joe Houston from Texas Equisearch coming on at the bottom of the hour, 10:30 Eastern. And then at 10:45 Eastern, I have a lady who I saw on Fox News last night. Her name is Diane Ibotson. I hope I'm pronouncing that properly. Her son was killed in Iraq in the same battle that Casey Sheehan was killed in. Well, Cindy Sheehan, if you've been watching the news at all, you know she's an activist who's been protesting at the president's ranch, and now she is threatening to run for Senate. She's also questioning the president's picks for the Supreme Court, and she's hanging around now with that tin pot dictator, Hugo Chavez. I don't think there's anything worse than the death of a child, and we all have to respect people and parents for what they've gone through. Okay, but Cindy Sheehan has gone too far. She's now become a political activist. If you got to hang around Hugo Chavez to get your point across, something's wrong. I've got a lady whose son was also killed coming on the show. It'll be 10:45 Eastern, and she's going to talk about something called Families United. And that's for our troops and their mission. And her son was killed, too. But she's got a different message. So hopefully you can join us tonight on Sunday Night Satellite.
Standing on the deck at Southampton, trying to get to Holland or France. Man in the Mac said, you gotta go back. You know they didn't even give us a chance. Christ, you know it ain't easy. You know how hard it can be. The way things are going, they're gonna crucify me. Finally made the plane into Paris, honeymooning down by the Seine. Peter Brown gonna say, you can make it okay. You can get married in Gibraltar, near Spain. Christ, you know it ain't easy. You know how hard it can be. The way things are going, they're gonna crucify me. Go from Paris to the Amsterdam Hilton, talking in our beds for a week. The newspaper said, say what you're doing in bed. I said, we're only trying to get us some peace. Christ, you know it ain't easy. You know how hard it can be. The way things are going, they're gonna crucify me. Saving up your money for a rainy day, giving all your clothes to charity. Last night the wife said, oh boy, when you're dead, don't take nothing with you but your soul. Think. Made a lightning trip to Vienna, eating chocolate cake in a bag. The newspaper said, she's gone to his head. They look just like the gurus in drag. Christ, you know it ain't easy. You know how hard it can be. The way things are going, they're gonna crucify me. Off the early plane back to London, 58 comes tied in the sack. A man from the press said, we wish you success. It's good to have the both of you back. Christ, you know it ain't easy. You know how hard it can be. The way things are going, they're gonna crucify me. The way things are going, they're gonna crucify me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
What do those words mean to you? To me, they say, thank you, America, for your strength, your courage, and for our freedom, which has been a beacon to the world for 200 years.
Of the United States of America.
Whose bright stars are 50 states, each bearing its own stamp of individuality. People, 200 million strong. People who have come to her from all corners of the earth.
And to the republic for which it stands.
A land of laws with an ingenious system of checks and balances that allows no man to become a tyrant and lets no group prevail if their power is not tempered with a real concern for the governed. A land where the right of dissent and free speech is jealously guarded. Where the ballot box is the sword and the people its wielder.
One nation under God.
A land where freedom of worship is a cornerstone of her being. A land graced with temples and churches, synagogues and altars that rise in profusion to embrace all the religions of the world.
Indivisible.
A land forged by the hot steel of raw courage, conformed forever by the awful crucible of civil war.
With liberty.
Where man in pursuit of an honest life will not be denied his chance. Where her citizens move freely within her vast borders without hindrance or fear. A land brimming with opportunity. Where freedom of choice is the guideline for all.
And justice.
The courts of our land are open to all. Its wheels of justice grind for all causes, all people. They look to every avenue for justice, every concern of the law, and they temper their reasoning with mercy for all.
And that's John Wayne with the Pledge of Allegiance here on C-Band Talk. And about, what are we looking at here? 17 minutes, Sunday Night Satellite tonight. For MechTech, Lee Richardson, he and I are going to talk satellite stuff at the bottom of the hour, 10:30 Eastern. Joe Houston from Texas Equisearch, get an update on the Natalie Holloway investigation. And then at 10:45, Diane Ibotson from Families United. And hopefully you'll be able to tune in and enjoy the show. That's Sunday Night Satellite at 10 o'clock Eastern.
Pretty woman, walking down the street, pretty woman. The kind I like to meet, pretty woman. I don't believe you, you're not the truth. No one could look as good as you. Mercy. Pretty woman, won't you pardon me, pretty woman. I couldn't help but see, pretty woman. And you look lovely as can be. Are you lonely just like me? Wow. Pretty woman, stop a while. Pretty woman, talk a while. Pretty woman, give your smile.
You're listening to the Dana Pretzer C-Band Talk Network. Monetary contributions are always welcome. If you would like to contribute to the network, please contact Dana Pretzer at pretzer@canada.com. And thank you.
Girl next door walking, she found a boy she liked. She wanted to get married, settle down in life. Girl next door walking, she knew it wasn't right. She came home at past 10, late every night. Oh, the girl next door in the walking, she found a boy she liked. She wanted to get married, settle down on the land. She didn't know love was so grand, she never took love second hand. But to my surprise, she thought that love was better. door in the morning. She found a boy she liked a lot. She wanted to get married, settle down a life. She didn't know love was so grand. She never took love second hand. But to my surprise, she thought that love was paradise. Well, next door in the walking, she found a boy she liked a lot. She wanted to get married, settle down a life. Now the two are married, settle down for life. She walks by him hand in hand, they ate every night. Oh, the girl next door in the walking, she found the boy she liked. She wanted to get married, settle down for life.
And that's Elvis here on C-Band Talk. Sunday Night Satellite in 10 minutes tonight. Lee Richardson from NECTEC. Joe Houston from Texas EquiSearch with the Natalie Holloway investigation update. And Diane Ibotson from Families United. Now, you're wondering what Families United is and who is this lady? Well, I happened to be watching Fox News last night, like I do every so often. And I saw her being interviewed by John Kasich. And I thought I'd invite her on the show tonight. She has quite a story for you. And I encourage you to check out their webpage at www.familiesunitedmission.com. That's www.familiesunitedmission.com. And I think you'll be quite taken with the story that she has to say. Sunday Night Satellite in about 9 minutes here on C-Band Talk.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. That there's rich folks eating in a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep a moving, and that's what tortures me. From this prison, if that railroad train was mine, I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line, far from Folsom Prison. That's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
I see some breaking news here for you feed finders. You may want to scan around the dish and see if you can find something on this. Actually, it's not far from where I am. There's another mining disaster in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. That's not far from me at all. Fire leaves 70 potash miners trapped. About 70 miners are reported trapped but safe in a Saskatchewan potash mine after a fire broke out early Sunday morning. This is coming from CTV.ca. Marshall Hamilton, a spokesman for the Mosaic Company, the mine's U.S.-based operator, said the miners have made their way to an underground shelter called a refuge station. In those refuge stations, the workers conceal themselves in with enough oxygen and food and water to be comfortable for the next 36 hours at least, he told CTV Newsnet. They will stay there until mine rescue workers can put out any blaze and mine air quality improves, he said. It's been a hell of a go for miners, and now this isn't far from me. So our thoughts and prayers go out to those in Esterhazy. And I do know some people out there that work in the mine. Sunday Night Satellite in about 4 minutes. Okay, good evening. It's January 29th, 2006. My name's Dana Pretzer. Welcome. This is C-Band Talk. Tonight, Sunday Night Satellite. My guests will be Lee Richardson from MechTech, Joe Houston from Texas Equisearch, and Diane Ibotson from Families United. I hope you can sit back and enjoy. Okay, we're back. This is Sunday Night Satellite for January 29th, 2006. It's always nice to have this gentleman on as a guest, Lee Richardson from MechTech. And in fact, I'm told we have a new website address for Lee's website. It's mechtech.us. MechTech, MechTech.us. Check it out. If you need something satellite-wise, that's the place to go. Lee, how are you?
I'm fine, Dana. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. It's been a while since I've had you on the show. It's always nice to have you here. I want to talk a little bit tonight about the switch from analog to digital. In particular, the networks are starting to go analog to digital. A lot of the channels are going that way. Hell, this show is going to be going that way come the end of March. What's the trend going to be now? I think the numbers came out here yesterday or the day before, if you can believe those numbers. I think it's down to 150,000 or so. What's the trend going to be for the backyard dish owner? Are they going to need to drop that price down on the 4D TVs to keep the people interested?
Well, that's hard to say. I think the 4D TVs probably priced about as low now as it can go and still survive.
Right.
In fact, I'm not so sure that the price is currently being offered... may not spell the end of the 4D TV. I mean, that's kind of the way the sidecars went with MPS. They lowered the price so much on those, and then they were just discontinued. But there's still roughly 150,000 of us, and I do believe those numbers. I mean, I think those come right from the Motorola Access Center, so I suspect they're probably legitimate numbers. And in my opinion, I mean, I really expected it to level out before now. I'm surprised it's still that big of a decline each and every month. But it's going to have to level out sooner or later. It's going to dwindle down to nothing.
Yeah, I know you see the numbers, and if you do the math, hell, we should be in the negatives right now.
Right.
And I don't think that's totally accurate.
No.
Now, talking to the folks at Primetime 24, like I do every week, they will be simulcasting their analog PBS, or PBS, yeah, I wish they did have that, their analog CBS, NBC, and ABC stations till the end of March, and then they will be offering ABC and CBS, and it sounds like, and I'll probably get some details this week, that NPS has decided to come forward and uplink the NBC station in a DigiCypher 2 format. Is there enough interest, or is there enough room, and maybe I shouldn't even be saying this, from the satellite consumer to have both feeds with the Denver channels and now the Primetime 24 channels, an East Coast and a West Coast? Is there enough interest out there, Lee?
Oh, I think there is. In fact, it's nice to have both of them, like an East Coast feed at least and that Denver feed.
Right.
I know back in the analog days when you could still get the Primetime 24 and the Denver 5, that was pretty convenient to be able to catch a show that perhaps you'd missed, an hour earlier. So I think there's, I think that package was always had a lot of customer interest. Now in the later years, what with the, having to get the waivers and so on, that sort of cooled it off quite a bit. But I think there's still quite a few customers that can take advantage of that.
Well, for sure. And again, I'm told from the folks at Primetime 24, and it is open knowledge now that There will be DigiCypher 2 feeds available on AMC3, so that's W3 on the 4D TV receiver. They're going to be using Transponder 7. What the virtual channels will be, I don't know, and it sounds like NPS will be looking after the NBC part of it. So for those of you that are interested and wondering, they will be there, and contact your program provider. We do suggest NPS and satellite receivers on this channel to get all the information about the networks to you. Now, what do you think is going to be next, Lee? I know I'm asking you to pull a rabbit out of your hat here, but it seems like things are changing. I know TV Land has gone by the wayside, and it should be back here pretty quick, but what's your next prediction, and how will it hurt or help the industry?
Well, I suspect the analog channels are going to continue to dwindle just because they are so expensive to uplink. And, you know, as time goes by, they'll probably go away more rapidly. But at the same time, they still are going to be available in a digital mode. Now, it's going to take somebody like an NPS that they've really surprised me with the way they've been able to get some of these channels in the digital mode for us.
Yeah.
And if the pass is any guide, it looks pretty promising. I think, you know, we might lose one here or there or something like that, but I think all in all, it seems like as soon as they're going digital, within a short time afterward, NBS has been able to get them for us.
Now, if you're just tuning in, Lee Richardson's here from MechTech, and you've got a new address for that webpage, Lee, mechtech.us, and that's mechtech.us. Of course, the DVB free-to-air market is still thriving, and the receivers are available. I guess they are. I guess that's the question I'm asking you. What's your suggestion to the backyard dish owner that's wondering, yeah, is any of this worth it? Because really, there is still lots out there.
Oh, yes, the DVB MPEG receivers, even if it's the most basic model or an old used one or whatever, as long as it's still working, it's very worthwhile. I mean, that's a lot of these feeds and so on that have disappeared from the analog have gone to that DVB MPEG format. And they've got some nice new receivers that have a lot of features and so on. But basically, all the receivers receive pretty well, I'm going to say, 90% of the same channels. I mean, there are some more expensive models that can tune a few of the different feeds and so on that the more inexpensive ones cannot. But all in all, I think the DVB MPEG receivers are the best value as far as the sheer number of channels you can get. Now, since they are free-to-air, that means they can come and go at any time without warning, and there's no way to subscribe to them or anything. But by the same token, there's a lot of them up there, and there's never a charge for any of them. Once you've purchased that receiver, they're pretty well free from there on out.
How about updates? I know there's software updates that need to be done. How complicated is that for the novice user?
Well, that varies from model to model. Generally, it requires a computer with a serial port. I assume later, as these MPEG receivers get newer, they'll start using USB at some point in time. But basically, you download the software from a website and load it with your computer into the receiver, and it's not as complicated as it used to be. It seems like the interface programs and so on are a lot more user-friendly than they once were.
Now, for those that don't have a 4D TV receiver and listen to the program either on the Internet or on satellite and are thinking about upgrading to that, the digital packages are there. Of course, NPS has their Absolute Digital, and other packages and satellite receivers have similar type packages. They may call a different name, but is there some digital stuff up there that they can get without subscribing to anything?
Now, we're talking about the 4D TV receiver?
Right.
Yeah, there is, but there's different kinds of 4D TV free channels. Some of them are absolutely free to where any activated receiver, whether it's got a program guide or anything in it or not, can receive. But then there are other channels. For example, B-Mania, some other ones like that perhaps a person would be interested in. And they're free. You don't really subscribe to them. But in order to get them, you have to purchase some other channels that you do have to pay for. It's a little complicated, and it's never really been spelled out clearly exactly what channels you have to buy in order to get the other ones. But it's best that you can get at least a minimal subscription.
And of course, there's a ton of digital stuff up there in DigiCypher. A lot of the channels that you enjoyed on analog are there on DigiCypher. Some of the ones that disappeared from analog are back on DigiCypher. And really, Lee, let's talk about DigiCypher a little bit. That's one encryption that has never been broken. I know the folks at Star Choice have used it for years, and you never hear them in the news talking about pirates or hacks or anything.
Right, and if you can believe the other ones, such as the Bell Express View or the Dish Network or DirecTV, that the pirates are costing them X million dollars a year, it sure looks like Star Choice would be the most profitable of the companies since they aren't suffering that loss. I mean, I'm not sure what their subscriber numbers are compared to the competing Bell system, but even if they've got a half of the amount of subscribers as Bell does, it looks like their company as a business model would be more profitable because they did choose the Motorola product.
And the picture's a lot clearer.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it looks pretty good.
My guest Lee Richardson from MechTech tonight is here tonight, and if you want to check out his webpage, here's how you do it. Go to mechtech.us. That's mechtech.us. Now, some questions that have come up in the last little while since I've had you on the show last time has to do with cabling. In particular, the cabling from the dish inside your house, and can cabling be spliced together if you run a little short? In fact, I remember asking that question when I moved into this house here. Can you splice cable together? And just what's the recommended length from the dish to your house, et cetera, et cetera? Let's talk about cabling a little bit, Lee. What are some recommendations that you have?
Okay, the recommended cable is RG6. And that's a little thicker than the type you use just for cable television, which is the RG59. And one continuous run is preferred as far as the best quality and the best reliability. However, if you do need to splice it, and if the terminals are quality terminals and if they're installed properly, you should not have that great a loss with each connection. It would be best, if possible at all, to have any splices made indoors instead of outdoors, simply because all the weather, the moisture and everything can get in and cause corrosion and problems later. If it is required to make a splice outdoors, it'd be best to do everything you can to weatherproof that joint to keep any condensation or moisture from getting in and causing problems down the road.
What's a lifetime? You know, I've had my dishes in the yard for years and the cable buried or whatever. Is there a lifetime or is that an issue?
I think as long as the vinyl jacket stays intact, where there's no little pinholes or anything that where moisture can get in and no little animals chewing on it or a weed eater hitting it or anything like that, I think the life of it's fairly indefinite. I mean, certainly as long as C-band, the satellite's been in existence. There's people that's got the same cable they were using back in the 80s, and it's still working just fine.
Yeah, and I'm one of them. Because I dug it up at the old house and brought it over here, and it seems to be working just fine. Lee, question that comes up now and then, and especially with users of the 920 receiver, and I'm not sure how to post a question to you, is the problem with actuators and them not landing on, losing counts or not landing on the satellite. I think you know what I mean. Let's talk about that a little bit. You go from one satellite to the next and it's fine, and then you go back to that same satellite and all of a sudden you're off frequency by 3 or 4 counts. And I'm not talking necessarily KU. There is that problem, 920s. Is there a way to get around that?
If there is, I haven't found a 100% way. I can fully sympathize with that problem, and I've had it to a certain extent with all of the 40 TVs I've ever had installed in my system, and that's probably been dozens of them at one time or another. And it seems to affect the 922 just as bad as it ever did the 920. I don't think the model number makes that big a difference. I've got a 922 in here right now that's probably the worst in that regard of any amount I've ever seen.
Oh, really? Okay.
There are a couple of things that people can do to help reduce that a little bit. One of them is in most of the satellite ribbon cable, there's a... some of the cables are wrapped in like an aluminum foil, and it's got a bare wire, stranded wire, mm-hmm. that's intended to be used as a ground to try to drain off some of that electrical noise. And if they can wrap that around the grounding thumb screw on the rear of the 40 TV receivers, that might tend to help drain off some of that noise and help the receiver get some a little better count accuracy and so on. But it's been a problem with the 40 TV ever since it was installed, and I don't think they ever really corrected it, and I doubt if it will ever be totally corrected.
Yeah, that's true. Lee Richardson's here from MechTech. Lee, another question that comes up is the right type of LNB to get that digital lock, whether it's with a MPEG receiver or a 40 TV receiver. What are your suggestions?
Well, my suggestion is first, try what you already have, because a lot of those old LMBs work surprisingly well with these digital signals, even though they were made before anybody ever thought about a digital satellite signal. A lot of them, those old Drake LMBs and some of the old Gardners and things, that they look like heck because they've been out there 20 years, but they may still work. So don't go into it thinking, I'm going to definitely have to replace my LMB. However, you also need to go into it looking at, you may have to replace your LMB. And if you do, what you're looking for is you're looking for stability as much as anything. People recommend and seem to have, I personally have good luck with the NorSat and the CalAmp Professional 2. You're looking for a frequency stability of plus or minus 500 kilohertz or smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can go ridiculously small on the frequency stability, and I don't really recommend that either, because as you go very small, like in the case of the phase lock loop LMBs or the PLL LMBs, you start giving up other factors, like the noise temperature goes up, and some of the other problems show up that would be less severe with a more moderate LMB. So for most people, something in the range of plus or minus 500 kilohertz or down to plus or minus 150 kilohertz, somewhere in that range, would be great. Anything smaller than 150 kilohertz plus or minus, I'm sure there may be some kind of data signals or something with a really small symbol rate, but for the kind of video we're looking at, those would be just fine.
Okay, Lee, tell the folks what they can find if they go to mechtech.us, or have you got any specials that you'd like to mention?
Well, they can find a website that's about a year out of date if they go to that. Unfortunately, I have not updated that, but the one thing it does have is my telephone number on there. when you call these places and they say your call is important to us, well, your call is important to me, and that's why I'm here to try to answer it in person.
Okay.
So you won't get any you may get an answer machine every once in a while, but most of the time I'm here, so we try to take care of that.
And you can pretty much look after anything, MPEG, cables, LMBs, 4D TVs, etc.?
Exactly, and if we can't, we can try to steer you to someone who can. So.
Okay, well, it's always nice to have you on the show. Lee Richardson from MechTech. Again, his webpage is www.mechtech.us. And your telephone number, Lee?
That's area code 812-474-1613.
Always a pleasure to have you on the show, sir. You're welcome anytime.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
Thanks, Lee.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Lee Richardson from MechTech. Again, one of the nicest guys in the satellite business. And if you need anything as far as satellite equipment, go to Lee. That's www.mechtech.us, or call him at 812-474-1613. This is Sunday Night Satellite on C-Band Talk. At the bottom of the hour, Joe Houston from Texas Equisearch will be here to give us an update on the Natalie Holloway investigation. And then at quarter to the hour, Diane Ibotson, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, from Families United will be here to talk about the death of her son in the conflict in Iraq. We'll be right back.
Standing on the deck at Southampton, trying to get to Holland or France. The man in the Mac said, you've got to go back. You know they didn't even give us a chance. Christ, you know it ain't easy. You know how hard it can be. The way things are going, they're gonna crucify me. Finally made the plane into Paris, honeymooning down by the Seine. Peter Brown's gonna say, you can make it okay. You can get married in Gibraltar, in Spain. Christ, you know it ain't easy. You know how hard it can be. The way things are going, they're gonna crucify me. Go from Paris to the Amsterdam Hilton, talking in our beds for a week. The newspaper said, say what you're doing in bed. I said, we're only trying to get us some peace. Christ, you know it ain't easy. You know how hard it can be. The way things are going, they're gonna crucify me. Saving up your money for a rainy day, giving all your clothes to charity. Last night the wife said, oh boy, when you're dead, don't take nothing with you but your soul. Think. Made a lightning trip to Vienna, eating chocolate cake in a bag. The newspaper said, she's gone to his head. They look just like two gurus in drag. Christ, you know it ain't easy. You know how hard it can be. The way things are going, they're gonna crucify me. Caught the early plane back to London. 58 comes tied in the sack. A man from the press said, we wish you success. It's good to have the both of you back. Christ, you know it ain't easy. You know how hard it can be. The way things are going, they're gonna crucify me. The way things are going, they're gonna crucify me.
And that's one of Satellite's independent artists, RDS Music, here on Sunday Night Satellite. I got some good news, finally. Miners have been found safe in the Saskatchewan mine. Of course, you have to have been in another world to not have heard of the mining catastrophes that have been happening in the United States in the last few months. And today there was a almost catastrophe here in Saskatchewan, actually not far from me. This is news that has changed even since I've started the show. It says, miners now found safe in Saskatchewan mine. All 70 miners who have been trapped in a potash mine in southern Saskatchewan since a fire early Sunday have been found safe, mine officials say. CBC News reporter Breyer Stewart, who was at the scene, said mine officials passed on the good news at a briefing shortly before 9 p.m. Central. Officials said it could be several hours before the miners were able to leave the safe rooms where they've been holed up since the fire broke out. So that's good news that those miners are safe. And that's Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. It's not that far from here. You are listening to Sunday Night Satellite here on C-Band Talk. In about 9 minutes, we'll have Joe Houston from Texas Equisearch. I want to get an update as far as what's going on with the search for Natalie Holloway. I see that they've been active again in the news, and I thought it'd be good to have Joe come back on the program to talk about that.
Almost heaven. West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place. Voice in the morning hour, she calls me.
And that's the late John Denver. You know, I think besides Ringo, everybody that I play on the show, music-wise, is dead. My name's Dana Prentzer. This is Sunday Night Satellite. In a few minutes, Joe Houston from Texas Equisearch will be here to give us an update on the Natalie Holloway investigation. Now, if you're wondering, and I know you are, or if you missed the show last week about what's going to be happening to C-Band Talk and Sunday Night Satellite, once the Primetime 24 affiliates go DigiCypher at the end of March, well, I'm going DigiCypher too. What I know is that we'll still be on AMC3, W3, and I think it's Transponder 7, but what my virtual channel will be, I don't know. That news should be coming out in the next few weeks, so we will be doing that. And also, I guess it's been announced that NPS will be uplinking the NBC affiliate, along with Primetime 24, that will be uplinking the CBS and ABC affiliates in DigiCypher, so there will be East Coast feeds for those of you that have satellite dishes and want those East Coast networks. And the best way to show that you want them is to subscribe to them. That's all we can ask. Of course, my webpage is www.cbandtalk.com, www.cbandtalk.com. Click on any of the links, send me email, sign up to the mailing list, do whatever you have to do to participate. Other shows that we have, Thursday nights we have the On Computers radio show. Friday nights, my late great friend Gary Bourgeois, I promised Gary just before he passed away that I would continue airing Friday Night Live Friday nights from 9 till midnight Eastern, and we do that. We also air when they're available, Tech This with Leo Laporte on Friday nights. Saturday nights we have Jimmy Lee and Bambi with the Jimmy Lee and Bambi show from CNI Radio, followed by The Bite Show with George Ann Hughes, and then Sunday nights yours truly with Sunday Night Satellite, and then followed by some old-time radio. So we'll take a break here for a couple of minutes, and when we come back, we'll have Joe Houston from Texas Equisearch here on Sunday Night Satellite. Sunday Night Satellite can be heard on C-Band Talk. C-Band Talk is located at Satellite AMC3, Transponder 5, 6.8 Narrowband Audio, W3956 on the 4D TV receiver, on the Internet by going to www.cbandtalk.com. That's www.cbandtalk.com. Click on any of the links and you should be able to hear the show. We have archives of the show that are podcast. You can just click on the archive link to hear old shows that go way back when, plus the most recent shows. Just click on the podcast link and listen to them from there. It's just that simple.
That she would love me so, but in time I realized she had a pair of roving eyes.
Okay, we're back. This is Sunday Night Satellite, and it's my pleasure to welcome back as a guest from Texas Equisearch, Joe Houston. Joe, how are you?
Good. About yourself?
I'm doing good. Now, anybody that's been following the news here in the last little while sees that the Holloway investigation is still chugging along, as bizarre as it seems, and Texas Equisearch is, again, in my opinion, going above and beyond the call of duty. What's going on there, sir?
Well, fortunately, Tim Miller, the director of Equisearch, was able to go down to Aruba about 2 weeks ago. A meeting was set up with Deputy Don Pig, Chief Deputy Don Pig,
right,
concerning the offshore waters basically west of the island. Don Pig had received a report that said that the night Daly disappeared, a fish trap, which is basically a heavy wire, about five and a half feet long, three feet wide and about 3 feet deep, disappeared from the fisherman's huts, and he had received a tip that Natalie was placed in that wire fish trap, taken offshore, directly out from the fisherman's huts and dumped.
Mm-hmm.
In about somewhere between three to five miles offshore, and that's going to be somewhere between 300 and 1,500 feet of water.
1970s. You know, have you, in all your years, have you ever been involved with an investigation like this?
Now, this one is it's really been pretty bizarre. You know, first we get down there and we have cooperation, and we don't have cooperation, and we get all these leads that come in, and we try to follow up on all of them, and it's just so bizarre from a standpoint that if you had written a novel about it, I don't think anybody would believe it.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, my heart goes out to the family for sure. Okay, you've got 1,300 feet of water. What can Texas EquiSearch do?
Well, what we've done is we are teaming up with an individual out of Florida that actually is specialized in underwater recovery. And he's a treasure hunter, but also a salvage operator. He has equipment necessary to be able to go down. In fact, he has a recovery down to 14,000 feet. He has equipment we need from a standpoint that he has submersibles. He has side-scan sonar that will allow him to penetrate that depth of water. And my understanding from the oceanographers that I've talked with, that part of the ocean in that depth of water is fairly barren. The only thing down there, we're not looking at any coral. There may be, you know, other ships, trash, stuff like that, but there's not going to be any natural obstacles, which was the problem when we were searching in shallower water. You know, up to about 175 to 200, maybe 220 feet, you tend to run across rock formations or coral formations, and when you're using side scan sonar, it's not like a camera.
Right.
You're trying to get an image of something, a three-dimensional image of something, and based upon how you look at it, something from one angle may look like it's the right size, but seen from a different angle, you may see that it's, you know, 20 feet long.
Now let's talk about the time. You know, it's been months and months and months. Evidentiary-wise, what could you find?
You know, from an evidentiary standpoint, I'm not really sure there's much you can find at this point. Beth was in Houston on Friday of this last week. We had a little get-together with her, and she's still, the main thing that she wants to do is she wants to bring Natalie home one way or the other, and that's obviously what we're trying to do.
Fair enough, yeah.
If she's in this wire box, our experts tell us that the larger of the bones should still be there, either skull, some of the large leg bones or hips, things like that should still be intact and in there. We would definitely hope that if there is any evidence in there from a standpoint of any DNA evidence, I don't know quite what we're looking for from a standpoint of fingerprints or whatever else, but that's going to be pretty minimal. But the main thing is to try to find it and get this whole thing closed and let Beth and Dave and the entire entire Holloway and Twitty family just have an end to this, have some closure to it.
Yeah, I think the whole world wants to see this family get some closure and some justice, but I think closure is the first thing. If you're just tuning in, Joe Houston is here from Texas EquiSearch, and we're getting an update on the Holloway investigation. Now, I've seen some on Fox News or wherever it was, doesn't matter, about the sand dunes and what's going on there.
I have to chuckle a little bit, David, because those things were searched immediately after Natalie disappeared by the Aruban military. And what I was told, that for two or three days there were people all over those sand dunes. We had a lot of people all over the sand dunes. We were contacted about the sand dunes, I think about 2 weeks ago, just after Tim got back. And Don Pig wanted additional dogs and additional equipment to come down there. We come to find out that the equipment we have, which is ground-penetrating radar, they have in Holland. And so, obviously, you know, if they needed it, if the Rubens needed it, they could request it from Holland, and it'd be over there. From a standpoint of the dogs, when they contacted us, we needed more information than they were actually willing to give out to us. So none of our dog teams were willing to go down there unless they had more specific information, because we had dog teams there. We had people there. The fact those dunes have probably been pounded into the ground by people looking for her, it just doesn't make any sense to me why they would even look at it again.
Joe, I'd like to get into the media's role in this investigation. And, you hate to say it, but if it bleeds, it leads. And I think I saw a comment on one of the cable channels here the other day that these sorts of stories, the Holloway stories and these gruesome killings and disappearances, seem to be coming up about once a week are what keeps these channels going. How much have the cable company's news services helped or hindered the investigation. I know from a family perspective, if I was the family, I'd want to use the media as much as I possibly could, but what's your take on that?
Well, you're exactly right. Typically, you know, our standard format is that we get called into a case, we check it out with the police, we check with the family, and then we try to get the media involved with it. And getting the media involved with it has actually been, from a standpoint of searching, has been very helpful from two standpoints. Number one, it lets the individuals who actually do come out and search with us know that we're doing a search. They come out and they volunteer. So instead of having five or six people, we may have 50 or 60 people, which means you can cover a lot larger area. The second thing is it puts it in the public's eye that we're missing a, you know, 12-year-old little African-American girl, or we're missing a 75-year-old Alzheimer's patient. Here's this person. Can you please look for him? It gets the information out there. It makes the public aware of it, and that way we hopefully generate tips and leads. What concerns us is when that information gets out there and we get no phone calls.
Right.
You know, that's the point that we're going, okay, well, this person is not out and about somewhere. They're holed up by either their own volition, or they're possibly somebody's holding them against their will. They may be wandered off in the woods someplace. And when that happens, we obviously kind of change our tactics and take a look at it and see, okay, if there are no leads at all, you know, what do we do next from that standpoint? So the media overall has been helpful. Now, a lot of times, Dana, I'm sure you've seen this, and I'm sure your listeners have seen it too, is there's a lot of times that they sensationalize things.
Yep.
And they blow things out of proportion. You know, they make comments that are not true. It's just, and that causes us problems when that happens.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. Now, if from a textbook perspective, this hasn't been investigative police work A to Z as far as the Aruban authorities go. I'm going to ask the same question, but let's talk about the Aruban authorities, and I think I know your answer. How much have they helped? How much have they hindered?
Well, it's almost 180 degrees. At times they seem to be helpful. Other times it's like they're not wanting to do anything to help us at all. It depends upon, I guess, how the wind blows. There are times when they want us down there, they want us to do X, Y, and Z. They get us down there, they want us to do X, B, and C. They change their minds, so we have different equipment. So we don't know. You know, I've been down there long enough and dealt with these people long enough, but I don't know if they're doing it on purpose or they're just trying, they're overwhelmed. They probably are just overwhelmed with what's happened, the amount of the media attention, the pressure from both, I'm sure, the United States government and both individually from the United States period, and also the individual governors and the other people that do business with the Aruba. They're getting a lot of pressure. If I had to say that, you know, how their cooperation has been the last 3 weeks, I'm going to have to say it's been a lot better. Now, Dana, it's one of these things that if we get down there and for some reason they are not going to allow the offloading of the equipment, or they're going to put taxes on it or whatever else and to throw more roadblocks in the way, then I'm going to think the other direction. But right now, I'm happy with the current level of cooperation, and I'm enthusiastic that they are going to help us as much as they can this time.
Well, as far as the accuracy goes, whether or not the reporting is 100% or not, I'm seeing in the news that Aruban investigators are in the States talking to some of Natalie's classmates, and my comment to that is, my God, shouldn't they have been the first ones that you would have talked to?
No, without a doubt. I mean, there's lots of things, and I'm not a police officer, so I wouldn't know these, but being just a civilian and doing this from a volunteer standpoint, that's one of the first places I would have looked. And
yeah.
We, even when we were down there canvassing the island, trying to get additional information, we're given all kinds of information that, you know, Natalie was seen in the bathroom at Carlos and Charlie's at 11 o'clock p.m. the night that she disappeared, and two of her friends were in there with her, and she was throwing up. And well, those two friends, you know, I'm sure they should have been talked to within a week of her disappearance. You know, to find out, you know, what did they see, who did they see her with, you know, what was she acting funny, was she acting different? And as far as I know, none of that's been done up until recently here.
Yeah, that's just totally bizarre. Joe, other cases that you guys are working on that you'd like to comment on now?
Now, right now, one of the high-profile cases we're working on is we're working on the Tara Grinstead case.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been in Osceola, Georgia, I think, three times already. We had a team there 2 weekends ago. or 3 weekends ago working in a specific area with the Sheriff's Department in the Osceola, the town of Osceola area, and also with the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. We had divers and dogs out there searching a specific pond next to a swamp. Our dog showed some interest in that area, so we're contemplating what we're going to do about this, because unfortunately, different from Natalie's case, in that part of the world, there happen to be alligators and stuff, and that causes a different set of issues and problems.
I'll bet.
That we have to work with. We can't just send people in the water, you know, and that causes problems from that standpoint.
Yeah. Okay. Joe, what's your website for Texas EquiSearch?
It is TexasEquiSearch.org.
Okay. And I want to thank you for coming back on the program. I know you're busy. I appreciate your time. And anything I can do to help you guys from the media standpoint, just let me know, and I'd be glad to help and pass on my best wishes to everyone.
Hi, Dana. Can I take another about 30 seconds of your time?
Absolutely.
On our website, we have a family. We're working on a case here in Houston called the Kenny Ebarb, E-B-A-R-B case.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny has apparently been murdered. We're trying to find his body. He's left behind a mid-20s wife and three kids. And there's been a fund set up for people to make donations to try to help Heather and her kids survive through this right now. I just want to mention that. If any of your listeners can get on the website and make a contribution, I really would appreciate it.
Okay, fantastic. Again, what's that website one more time?
It's TexasEquiSearch.org, and EquiSearch is spelled EquiSearch, and hopefully everybody knows how to spell Texas by now.
All right, Joe. Appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
Take care. Appreciate it.
Okay, buddy. Bye-bye. That's Joe Houston from Texas EquiSearch with an update on the Natalie Holloway case. And, yeah, please support these guys. These are volunteers, and they are out doing yeoman's work, trying to help get some closure to these families on the cases that they're working on. We'll take a break, and we'll be back in a few minutes with Diane Ibotson from Families United. She's got quite a story to tell, and I hope you can stick around to hear it here on Sunday Night Satellite.
Well, in North Carolina, way back in the hill, lived my old baby and he had him a still. He blew the white lightning till the sun went down, and then he'd fill him a jug and he'd pass it around. Mighty, mighty pleasing, Baptist corn squeezing.
Shh, white lightning.
Well, the G-men, revenuers too, searching for a place where he made his brew. They were looking, trying to book him, but my pappy kept on cooking.
Ooh, white lightning.
Instead of Mountain Dew, I took a little sip and right away I knew, and my eyes bugged out and my face turned blue. Lightning started flashing, thunder started flashing.
White lightning.
Well, the G-men, C-men, revenuers too, searching for a place where it made it through. They were looking, trying to book him, but my pappy kept on cooking.
White lightning.
Well, I seen his slicker came and he said, I'm tough. I think I want to taste that powerful stuff. He took one for slug and he drank it right down. I'm moaning as he hit the ground. Mighty, mighty pleasing, your pappy's corn squeezing.
White lightning.
The G-men, C-men, revenuers too, searching for a place where it made it through. They were looking, trying to book him, but my pappy kept on cooking.
white lightning.
Okay, we're back. This is Sunday Night Satellite for January 29th, 2006. I want to tell you something that I learned about actually last night for the first time. Watching John Kasich on Fox News, I heard about an organization called Families United, and I encourage that you check out their webpage at www.familiesunitedmission.com. And there, you will see a story about all sorts of different families and stuff. But watching Fox News last night, I saw John Kasich interview a lady by the name of Diane Ibbotson, and I mispronounced her name a couple of times, and I apologize for that. And she has an interesting story about her firstborn son. Now, her firstborn son was killed in Iraq. And we all know how September 11th, 2001 affected the world. In fact, infected democracies all across everywhere. And we've seen the war on terror, and we've seen the fallbacks and the twisted reporting that comes out on mainstream media. And we've heard about somebody by the name of Cindy Sheehan, who deserves our respect because her son was killed in Iraq. However, Ms. Sheehan has now turned, in my opinion, to be a political activist, and rather than focusing on the war on terror and celebrating her son's life and his heroism, she's become somebody who is now hanging out with tin pot dictators like Hugo Chavez and things like that. Diane Ibbotson is here tonight to talk about Families United and her son. Diane, how are you?
I'm good, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on and speak with your audience this evening.
Tell us about your son. When you first heard that he was killed in Iraq, and then we'll get into what Families United is all about and what you have to say about the war on terror.
My son, as with every military personnel in the United States, has volunteered to serve our country. Casey Sheehan and Forrest died in the same battle. They had voluntarily gone after they saw the events of September 11th. They reenlisted in the service to defend our nation. They saw that we had been attacked by terrorists, Al-Qaeda, and they realized the importance of defending our homeland from further attack and assault. And part of that is defense of our country is to spread democracy, because democracy will bring about peace and freedom, liberty for people who have a representative form of government.
Absolutely.
Who have a voice in their governing. Are not a violent people. They are able to express themselves at the polls. And so sharing democracy in the Middle East is a way to bring about peace. And young men and women who served in the armed forces see that that is a peace process to share democracy.
Absolutely. And once you put that uniform on, whether you were the firefighters that were trying to save the people or police officers in the Twin Towers, the Pentagon, or in Pennsylvania, whether you're fighting in Afghanistan or Iraq, you have sworn an allegiance to democracy to defend what's right, and I think that's what's important. And I think what's wrong here are the people like Cindy Sheehan and others that have now become political spokespeople for the extreme left, the Michael Moores and the Hugo Chavez's and the the guy that sang the Banana Boat song. I can't think of his name right now. I couldn't believe seeing him, Harry Belafonte, hugging Hugo Chavez the other day. And now all of a sudden it goes from your son or your daughter being killed in battle to questioning the president's appointments to the Supreme Court. That's not what Families United is about. Diane, what is Families United, and let's talk about that.
Dana, I'm a Gold Star mother, and that is I'm a family member of one who has paid the ultimate sacrifice in this war on terror. Blue Star families are families who have currently those serving in harm's way defending our nation. And I will just say as a Gold Star mother that having lost a son in service to our country does not qualify me as a military analyst, as a political strategist. It doesn't qualify me as a diplomat. But it does give me opportunity to have a voice in our country and internationally, thanks to people like you who are willing to share the story. And so I choose, as does Ms. Sheehan, I choose to share the good news about the accomplishments that are taking place a half a world away with 25 million people who now are able to vote and who women who have a voice in their government, children who can go to school, and people who can go to health care clinics now because of the sacrifices and the service of men and women in the United States Armed Forces and in the coalition who are working to improve the quality of life for people a half a world away. And as a result, I believe that we will see peace in our country.
And I think it's the difference between right and wrong. And we all know, and I don't think that there are many that can say that what happened September 11, 2001 was right. And that's just plain, simple, common sense. It was a terrorist attack. There were other attacks besides September 11th, 2001, but that's the one that hit home, so to speak. And I think that the parents and the soldiers and the families and the whoever, even right as high up as the President of the United States, the Prime Minister of Australia or wherever, know that democracy is the system that brings about peace. Now, as a parent, as a Gold Star mother, your son was killed. If tomorrow, and this is a tough question, and if you don't want to answer, I totally understand. If tomorrow, and I'm being hypothetical here, and I pray to God that it doesn't happen, there's another attack, and you have another son, and that son wants to go and reenlist and fight for his country and for democracy, how will you feel?
My youngest son has spoken of a military career. He's 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, it's hard as a mother because
I'll bet
we're all about giving life to our children, and to see that they want to make such difficult choices in their lives is hard for a mother. But there are some things that are worth living for. Our families are things that we dedicate our life to. But, sir, there are some things that are worth giving your life for.
Yep.
And freedom is one of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, we wouldn't be able to drive down the street and go to the grocery store like we do today, or have a television show or a radio show like you were on last night or tonight with me, if we didn't have these freedoms.
Dana, you mentioned, gave me an opportunity to speak about the things that Families United are working to accomplish.
Absolutely.
And I missed that opportunity. If I might just take a moment to share with your audience some of the things that we're looking to accomplish. And,
sure.
And one of the most important things is to get out the good news of the accomplishments that are being attained by the sacrifices of our brave young men and women in uniform, to share the good news. We hear so much negative in the media today. And so Gold Star families, Blue Star families, veterans who have united together in this coalition of Families United for our troops and their mission are working to share that good news. We're involved in other projects, Operation Cookie Drop, to bring homemade refreshments to our wounded who are coming home and rehabilitating in hospitals. And so we're working with projects like the Lest They Be Forgotten Memorial Fund, founded by a Gold Star father in Florida who wants to see memorial set up in the hometown of all of our fallen soldiers and armed force members who've given their lives for our nation. projects that will actually put boots on the bumper sticker of support our troops. And so Families United gives those who support the troops and their mission an opportunity to give voice, to praise the efforts that are being made, to take practical steps in physically supporting the troops. And so it's a positive thing. While others seem determined to undermine the morale of our military and seem determined to jeopardize the victory that is in store for us, Families United is working to a successful completion of this mission.
Diane, if you were to have 20 seconds to sit down with the President of the United States, whoever he or she may be in a year or two or three or four from now, and you were to say to them what you thought about the war on terror and what you want them to do as the Commander-in-Chief, what would that be?
People ask me political questions often, and I would just say that our Commander-in-Chief, whoever that might be, wants every soldier to win in every battle that they send them into, however that soldier may have voted. And so I don't believe that this war is a political issue. I believe it's a defense issue. And so I would simply say to the President, the Commander-in-Chief, that I believe that this war on terror has been a turning point that will be forever remembered in history as bringing about the greatest generation, the next great generation of our time, of Americans and of world powers who understand that freedom is an essential part of the quality of our lives, and that I would encourage them to continue in the struggle for freedom that so many nations understand, and none better than our young nation of the United States of America.
Diane, can you pass on again the website for Families United?
FamiliesUnitedMission.com. There's an opportunity there for people of like mind to endorse the organization and to become part of the team of Families United.
Well, on behalf of myself, my family, my listeners, I want to pass on my sympathy and my condolences to you and your family, but also pass on my thanks for your son's service in protecting democracy and freedom and the sacrifice that he made. And God bless him and God bless you and the folks at Families United, and you are welcome on this program anytime.
One of our Gold Star soldiers put it this way in his last letter home: everyone has to die. You get to do it for something as important as freedom. So thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to share the stories of our successes.
Okay, Diane, and stay in touch with me, and I can help you out through my program as much as